All right, it's KBIA, your NPR station, on the phone with us now. He's coming to Columbia in just a few days. Keb Moe, his concert Tuesday evening in Jesse, and tickets still available for that one at concertseries.org. Keb, great to talk to you, sir.
Thanks. Nice to talk to you, too.
Hey, listen, I think the timing of this worked out beautifully. We've got a new album coming out from you. We just found out yesterday, Blues Americana. Already heard the first track, which is just a lot of fun. And talk a little bit about this new album, because that's just got to be an exciting thing for you as you're going through the tour.
Yeah, it's fresh and new. I've been working on it for the last 6 months of 2013. I've been writing probably since the middle of maybe, 2012, and putting songs together. The record is just a kind of it's a mixture of just acoustic-based songs. You know, it's not a lot of electric stuff, maybe an electric solo here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more roots-orientated. It kind of jumps over the map, over other parts of territory a little bit, like any Keb Moe record does.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. I think it's very heartfelt. There's a lot of songs about marriage and songs about silly stuff like the Old Me Better.
Yeah, Old Me Better is a hoot, and it's got a Dixieland feel to it, which was a fun thing, and just a terrific song. You know, for a while, you were putting out albums every couple of years or so for about until this one comes out, from about 06 to now, there was just the one new release, The Reflection. And talk a little bit about that. Are you just focusing more on touring and other things, or are you just kind of slowing down a little bit, putting out albums? I know there's a ton of work that goes into that.
No, I think, I don't know what it was. I think I'd been hitting it so hard since 1994.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I felt I had a lot of information and a lot of content already out there in terms musically.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
So I didn't feel a need to keep putting out music all the time, but to maybe shed more light on the catalog that I had, also to spend more time with my family, you know, spend more time at home, and have more of a life.
Yes.
And have been able to bring something more to when I do put out a record. It's really deeply rooted in my experience that I've had over the last few years.
Well, great.
Yeah, I think, and also another added thing with the changing in the music industry of amount of records you can sell and like amount of attention people put on music. I thought in my head maybe people aren't paying as much attention to music as they used to be, so maybe I should slow down and put no music out and concentrate on maybe when I do put something out, that it's maybe even more worthy of people's attention.
Sure.
Put more care, even more care and feeding into the creation of an album.
It's just hard to tell because the way people get music is changing so much, and it's not like you can look at album sales any longer or what's happening at the record store. So
yeah,
it's definitely a different thing. The new album, again, is going to be called Blues Americana. It's coming out April 22nd officially from Keb Moe. The concert, again, this Tuesday night here in Jesse. When we were originally scheduled to talk, the timing of it was right after we had lost Pete Seeger, and even though it's been a couple of weeks, you as a songwriter have always been a guy that put more into his songs beyond just "Ooh Baby Baby I Love You I Love You," and there's not a darn thing wrong with "Ooh Baby Baby I Love You I Love You," but you've done some deeper stuff than that. And I wonder your thoughts on the loss of Pete Seeger and his influence maybe on your songwriting.
Well, Pete Seeger, you know, you're talking about a guy that big piece of American culture, American history.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, hung out the likes of, all the blues guys, the folk guys. He was wrote "We Shall Overcome If I Had a Hammer."
Sure.
You know, I mean, he's a really iconic figure in music. And I think it's funny when we say we lost someone,
Right.
When someone lived for 95 years,
Sure.
I mean, I think we lost Jimi Hendrix, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And those songs will be with us, so he's still with us in a manner of speaking also, I guess. So.
Yeah, but and then when someone's young, they die, they become immediately immortal, you know?
Sure.
But someone like Pete Seeger, who did, you know, a lifetime of service in the music idiom, you know, that's like, to me, it's like a rich history. It's a big, I mean, it's like B.B. King. You know, we've had, you know,
absolutely
almost 90 years of B.B. King.
Yes. Thank heaven.
So, you know, it's like, that's grand. I never can quite see it as a loss, but maybe like as a celebration. That's like a homage to the to a life well lived, lived long and lived gracefully.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Loss, I have a little trouble with the word loss in a situation like that.
Sure, sure, sure.
We're all only going to live, you know, about if we're lucky, you know.
No kidding.
100 years is a good, you know, 190.
Yeah.
That's good, you know.
Can't beat that.
So
can't.
We didn't lose. We didn't lose Pete Seeger. We had the privilege of being in his world for many years. So
there you go.
I think we celebrate the coming and going and the immortality of Pete Seeger, if anything.
Great. Well said. Keb Mo with us again, the concert on Tuesday evening. Somebody else I wanted to ask you about that you've had the chance to work with, just because he's coming to town here about a month after you, is Vince Gill. And that's another place where, you know, the best music is always where you erase all those lines between this is blues, this is jazz, this is rock and roll, this is country. The fact that you got to do some stuff with Vince I thought was fantastic because I love him.
Yeah. Well, you know, Vince is the consummate musician. I mean, talking about someone whose style, you know, spans many genres.
Right. Yeah.
You won't find a guy that goes all the way from, you know, the bluegrass to Oklahoma to all the way to working with likes Diana Krall and, you know, straight jazz and Texas swing, country, R&B, pop. You know, you won't meet a guy that can go, you know, that many genres.
Right.
You know, great singer and possibly, I mean, as great a singer as he is, and he's one of the greats, possibly even a greater guitar player.
Oh, yeah. Knocks me out. Knocks me
out. It's like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
The breadth of that guy's talent and his humanity as well, which even probably even greater than even his musicianship.
Very good. Very good. We're talking kind of about songwriting and having an eye toward different issues. And I saw on your website that you'd made a trip to the White House recently. There's a performance of you doing America the Beautiful. I actually first saw that on West Wing, and that's obviously because you've done it in a number of different places and in a number of different settings, a song that's got a real meaning to you.
Yes, to me that's the national anthem of the country. America the Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
That's my national anthem. I don't know. I think it's such a beautiful song. Maybe it's probably written after Star Spangled Banner. So, yeah, but I think, to me, that song exemplifies my dream of what America should be. So I don't even sing the Star Spangled Banner.
I want to ask you what you think, and I don't know how much you get to watch the news or see what's going on in the world. The Coke ad in which this song was performed with people singing it in different languages, which I thought was just beautiful, and then I start seeing people were, you know, offended by that. But what did you think of that?
I didn't see that.
They played it during the Super Bowl. And there's,
I didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's women singing the song, and it starts in English, and then there's about five different languages. It's people singing America the Beautiful in different languages. One of them is Arabic, I want to say, and there's just, you know, and like I said, I thought it was beautiful, but now, of course, the people that get fired up about that stuff.
I don't know why anybody would be offended by that. We have so many languages spoken here
right
in the United States. Any offense to that, just by your word, would be probably by someone who doesn't really realize how broad the cultural landscape is in America.
Sure.
You know, and that all those languages, you know, we tend to be a very, like, a, you know, English, you know, friendly country. We don't speak, I mean, generally, like, me, I speak English. That's it. Like a lot of Americans. But, you know, if you live in another country, living in Europe, you know, you have to speak a lot of languages.
Sure.
You live in Africa, you live in a lot of places, you can't just speak one language. But here in America, we can get away with speaking one language and have a pretty big cultural landscape of what's going on. If you live in Denmark and you speak Danish, that's all there is. You know, if you only speak Italian, you know, it's just Italy.
Yeah, you get stuck if you can only speak one language in Europe. And I've got a lot of family in Germany, and you go to Germany, and unless you've got somebody that's fairly old and has lived in maybe a rural area or not had a lot of education, nearly everybody that's in Germany speaks English in addition to German, and maybe if they're in the western part, some French. And like you said, there's a lot more of that going on there.
Yeah. So I think in America, we should probably collectively, you know, maybe like get be a little more open-minded to maybe a lot more open-minded to languages.
Something else I want to ask you about is we're talking with Keb Moe here, getting ready for his concert Tuesday night. Your guitar work, I loved looking through the gear collection. He's got online on his website all of the different guitars he's collected and played over the years. Your playing style is pretty unique, and I just am wondering how you got started playing guitar and how your style kind of developed over time.
I got started playing guitar by my uncle, Herman Wyatt. And basically, my style is kind of a Frankenstein of different things because of, you know how when we used to, like, you learn, like, a Larry Carlton solo, you learn a B.B. King solo, you know, you learn, you know, Led Zeppelin, you know, Stairway to Heaven.
Sit there and listen to the record and fiddle around with it and figure it out, yeah.
I could never do that. So I would learn one lick from each thing, as much as I could remember, because I couldn't retain all that, you know. And I never found good reason to sit and, like, learn someone's solo verbatim.
Right, right.
You know, I was like, why am I doing that? That's kind of already done. So I always thought if I took pieces, being that I can't remember a whole solo, you know.
Sure.
I'll just take the pieces I can remember, and I did that for years. So it's just like little pieces here and pieces of just scales that I've learned, like, you know, just the, you know, theory, a lick here and there. So I've kind of unknowingly kind of put together a style.
I like the Frankenstein idea, just putting it all together with different parts from here and there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. You have on your recordings and in collaborations that you've done, worked with some really, really incredible talent. And this doesn't get asked often enough of touring musicians. Tell us about some of the other guys we're going to see on stage and some of the other people, I should say, we're going to see on stage Tuesday night. What kind of band have you put together for this tour?
Well, this is a duo I'm thinking.
Okay.
A duo slash trio.
So a pretty small group.
And it turns into, later on, it kind of turns into like a, but I don't really like telling people what they're going to see.
You know
what I mean? Because you know, basically it's an acoustic show. I like to just say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Yeah.
We've talked about some of the different interests that you've had and some of the different things that you've gotten involved with, and you have been a big part of an organization that I just absolutely love the basic idea of, and I love the output that they have produced. Talk to me about how you got plugged in with Playing for Change.
I've been plugged in with Playing for Change since the beginning.
Awesome.
Yeah. Mark Johnson, I met Mark Johnson in, I don't know, I think it was 2000, and maybe 2000, maybe it was.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark Johnson was a second engineer at Jackson Brown Studio.
Cool.
Jackson brought him from New York, gave him a job from New York. He was one of the assistant engineers.
Yeah.
And he had such a bright spirit. He was like just oozing with enthusiasm and just, you know, wow, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You meet people like that, you just feel it.
Special guy.
Yeah.
So I was looking for an engineer to do The Door. I was about to do The Door, which was going to be produced by Russ Tilghman. And I asked him, would he engineer it? He was here, and he said, yeah. I didn't have no idea what he could do or what he was really. I just wanted him to engineer my record because and just that guy, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
So I said, do you know where to plug everything in? He said, yep, good, let's go. Because I wanted, and I really like the sound of that record, you know, because I had had an experience of working with some engineers beforehand who were kind of set in their ways.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and had a technique and had something with it. And I didn't want someone that was going to tell me how stuff was supposed to sound. I wanted somebody that was knew the gear, but that would, you know, be open-minded.
Would know how to find the sound that you wanted and which buttons to push and all that jazz.
Right, yeah. So anyway, I worked with Mark Johnson, and I worked with him on probably next three records. So I did three records with him. And he started this Player for Change out of his, he just went down and he told me what he was going to do. He had this idea about Playing for Change, you know, like, and to do street musicians to, like, you know. And by lo and behold, he went out and did it. He started on the Santa Monica Promenade, 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica, and just started shooting people. And he asked me to be in stuff, you know. So I just was always in it. I wasn't in the first one, the Stand By Me.
Yeah.
You know, but I was right there with him, you know, when he did the Plan for Change movie and that, you know. I was right there with him, helping him and, you know, giving my input, you know, when asked for it, you know.
That's great.
I was just always, I've been there the whole time. And then the next thing he started asking me to participate, so I just did it. So I've been a fan of Player for Change and a fan of Mark Johnson.
That's great.
What he does is amazing. So it's like, what that is, it's just an amazing cause put together by an amazing, you know, individual. You know, and he's just a breath of fresh air in the world.
Yeah,
you know?
And for people who don't know, you can find these videos on like YouTube, Playing for Change, and it's musicians from all over the world, and there's some incredibly talented people, some really great sounds if you like world music and hearing different things combined together. And I'll tell you one other thing about Playing for Change. I have yet to meet a guitarist since I saw the first one of these that I have tried to get turned on to, Roberto Luti. This guy's insane. What a great guitarist.
Wow.
Terrific, terrific stuff. So... all right. Well, again, the concert is coming up this Tuesday night. Going to be right here in Jesse Auditorium, 882-3781 or concertseries.org for the tickets. And Blues Americana coming out April 22nd. Keb Moe, and we're looking forward to seeing you here Tuesday night. Safe travels, and thanks for the time today.
We also have a five-song EP available at the gig, the genre, the venue.
Fantastic.
It's not on iTunes. Yeah, it's only available at the shows. So
bring a little extra cash and be ready to grab one of those, because you know I'll be first in line.
All right.
All right.